Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
Kind of issues flying around, you know, what was in the documents, what's happened in the documents. Huge case today, a huge hearing today. We've pulled Boris out of meetings to join us. Boris, thank you so much for taking time away from what you guys are working on. But walk through, you know, because there's everything, there's all kind of things out there now. There are documents. It turns out that this was from the Durham grand jury, or this is where he was going after the deep state. Other things, you know, the president's saying release everything. Mike Pence is saying that we're the worst people in the world for calling the FBI, the Gestapo, for what they did. Put this all in perspective, sir.
Steve, honored to be with you in the War Room Posse today. Another vital day, big, important day, and just one more day of that sun behind me. I'll be at a new location tomorrow. Here's the bottom line. President Trump was in full cooperation and compliance with every request from the DOJ. There's no doubt about it, okay? In terms of the document, there's a separate process going on where the president declassified a huge batch of information relating to the Russia scam. And he did that, toward the end of his first term in office. And that's what some of the stories about are now. Now, he declassified that information, but the National Archives are refusing to actually put that information out there. And there's been a lot of back and forth on that front in terms of letting the American people see just how contrived, just how fake the Russia hoax and the attempt to frame the president of the United States and his supporters was.
Hold it, hang on. So this is kind of a bombshell. So the material that was declassified was related to the Russia hoax. I had to take that to be these are papers he wanted to keep. He declassified.
He wanted to keep, Steve. And it's important to separate these things. You know, the Mar-a-Lago raid, the break-in on President Trump's home, it was about documents they claimed that he took, you know, from the White House. Of course, the president has the full right and authority to declassify anything he wants. So he declassified all that, and then, you know, some of the documents went with him to Mar-a-Lago, Palm Beach, Florida. The issue in terms of declassifying Crossfire Hurricane and the Russia hoax is not to keep the information, it's to make it public. That was the President Trump's goal. That's what he did. He declassified that information in order to make it public, and now Cash Patel, John Solomon have been appointed as representatives of President Trump for the specific issue of getting this information to be released to the public, as it should have been now long ago after President Trump declassified it. So there's two distinct issues here. One is the unnecessary, unwarranted, un-American raid on the president's home. And the other is the fact that President Trump declassified a huge batch of information, and it should have never been kept from the public after he did that.
These lying scumbags, this whole thing with the nuclear and what they leaked is now what Cash has been putting out, and particularly John Solomon and now Newsweek magazine. It's quite obvious why the administrative state wanted to come back and grab this. People's heads are going to blow up. People's heads are going to blow up. You see, Crossfire Hurricane, when people go through Crossfire Hurricane and actually see the documents, there are going to be, and this is why they got to grab them. So, guys, preserve your documents, because when I say investigate, litigate, incarcerate, Brennan, Hayden, all you guys, save all your documents, because I just can't wait for 2023. This is a bombshell. If those were the docs, and now you know why they're lying nonstop about, oh, it's nuclear codes, it's nuclear, it's the tops of SITK. These documents.
Nonsense.
Will be explosive and expose exactly what they're about and what they're trying to do to this country and what they're trying to do to patriots in this country. It's outrageous, and I just can't wait. You couldn't have picked two better guys than John Solomon and Cash Patel. This will be quite interesting. This story is about to get a lot bigger, Boris Epstein.
No doubt about it. And you know, it's what's vital is that the president, as he said repeatedly on Truth Social, he's all about transparency, right? He called for the warrant to be released. He's called for the affidavit, the 1 o'clock hearing today, the affidavit, the application to be released. And throughout his presidency, he declassified information that the American public deserves to know. The American public deserves to know just how obsessed the deep state was with taking down President Trump, MAGA, the War Room Posse, and all of us who want to put America first. That's what he did by declassifying that information. Say, yeah, hey, let's put it out there. But of course, the deep state's trying to keep it from the American public while Merrick Garland goes up there and talks about, oh, I'm all about transparency. That is nonsense. President Trump is the leader of this country. President Trump is leading on transparency. And President Trump is the one to solve the grave problems that our country faces in the last 2 weeks. Only prove that even further.
Understanding this framing that President Trump was fully cooperative with the grand jury subpoena and back in June the visit and said, left him with, hey, anything else you need, call me directly. We'll work it out. And the framing of what potentially is actually in the documents themselves and why the FBI would want to get their hands on it ASAP. That's a great framing for this affidavit. When the affidavit comes out, when it's released, even in its redacted form, ladies and gentlemen, we'll go through it line by line. And knowing the two framing devices there, you'll see the lies and misrepresentations, exactly the acts of commission and omission,
the FBI, withholding,
what they do. This goes back to what they did in the FISA courts. They tee it up to these judges. They can't make anything but the decision they want because they're false and misleading. And if Mike Pence doesn't think that's Gestapo-like tactics, Mike Pence, the choir boy, you need to get into the real world, okay? You need to get into the real world because your cowardice in being a simp is actually quite dangerous. Boris Epstein, how do
All right. And that appears to be the way a lot of people feel about Mike Pence nowadays. But Bill in Boston pledges 100. Pam in Akron pledges 200. Maureen in Illinois pledges 50. The numbers are 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. We need to make our goal for tonight. We have approximately 40 minutes to raise $2,000. We need to raise $2,000 in the next 40 minutes. So there you go,
well,
folks.
You remember, guys, that
No, we need to raise 4,000. We need to raise 4,000. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Remembering that Trump, as he was leaving office, declassified almost everything having to do with Russian collusion, and it was sent over to the Department of Justice and supposed to be released. And isn't it interesting how you don't hear anything from Fox News, you don't hear Newsmax, anybody talking about why haven't all those documents that he declassified having to do with the Russian collusion been released? They were ordered to by the President of the United States while he was still active president. That's a lawful order, and it's amazing. Nobody's talking about why it never happened. I haven't heard a peep anywhere. Have either one of you?
No. But Pastor Ernie, I want to bring into the mix of what we're talking about, because there is like zero coverage of this or mentioning of this. But President Trump has filed a RICO crime. You know, the RICO case, racketeering, influence, corrupt organization, against the FBI and everything they did with the Russian collusion against Hillary. Yeah, she's the target of a RICO, and his Russian FBI agents are named as a part of this. And the sources that I'm following on it say that the FBI is terrified of this. Because of the implications, because the facts are all out there, what they did. And the reason for the raid, or part of the reason for the FBI raid for the records, is they want to get those records. And once they get them, they'll be lost. They'll disappear, right? They'll disappear. So there is apparently several reasons for the FBI for that search warrant and to take all those records, Pastor.
Well, here, I've got this in my hand right now, breaking. We were talking about Christina Lila. Judge orders portions of Trump FBI raid affidavit to be unsealed. Major media outlets are demanding the release of the probable cause affidavit behind the FBI's raid of Trump's Florida residence. No, they're not. They really don't want it, okay?
Nah.
Conservative watchdog Judicial Watch also demanded the release of the affidavit. Now, that's for real. Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton issued the following statement in response to the Biden Justice Department's opposition to Judicial Watch's motion to unseal. It seems like the Biden Justice Department is telling the court what to do. Respectively, the court should make its own independent assessment of the compelling public interest and transparency about this abusive raid. The criminal investigation the Biden regime is covering up reeks. It just reeks and reeks of corruption and dishonesty. Yeah, I guess it does. And is based on the reinvention of the law about presidential records that is at odds with the U.S. Constitution, with court rulings, federal statutes, and prior government legal positions and practice. No administration should be able to raid the home of a former president and putative presidential candidate based on secret reasons. And so...
Yeah. Well, look, too, the court's going to send it over to be looked over by the Department of Justice, and they're going to redact a few things. Well, you and we've all three been around a long time. Whenever they get a hold of a document where they can redact things and line it out, by the time they get done, you see a few words that you can put together and come up with absolutely no information whatsoever. And that's all they're going to do with this, redact it to the point it'll be a worthless document. And I won't waste my time even trying to go look at it because there won't be anything there to see.
All right, Jane in Florida pledges 100, and also she wants the newsletter. So there you go. Alrighty.
All right, and Big John, I got things too. You know, they're claiming that they had to do this raid because there's this classified information that's so very important, right? Why did they wait 18 months if what Trump had was so important that they had to send a 30-man armed team down to grab it? They've had 18 months. Why wait till just before an election when the law says you're not supposed to do anything that would interfere within 4 months of election? So they've had 18 months to go after this real important information, but it wasn't important enough to do it 9 months ago. Right?
I mean, it's all corruption, nonsense, lies, you know, delusions. What can I say? You know, we got to think the worst of these. If we think the worst of these people and these agencies, then we'll be right in with what we'll think logically with what they're doing.
We'll get closer to the truth, that's for sure, because they are, well, did you see the article out? Sam Harris is a atheist. He's a podcaster. He's supposed to be a entertainer of some kind. And he came out and he said, he was talking about Hunter Biden, he was talking about this raid on Trump, and he said Hunter Biden literally could have had the corpses of children in his basement. I would not have cared. He said basically when they, you know, hid the Hunter Biden laptop, he said it was a conspiracy. It was out in the open. He said, well, if there was an asteroid hurtling toward Earth and we got in the room and to determine what we could do to deflect it, would that be a conspiracy? So he's saying it was a conspiracy, but it was not really because it was out in the open. Everybody knew they were hiding the laptop. And he goes on that he said it's appropriate for Twitter, the heads of big tech, the heads of journalistic organizations, to feel they were in the presence of something like a once-in-a-lifetime moral emergency. We had to stop Trump. So they're coming out and saying, you know, they're doing it on purpose. It's all anti-Trump. And the end justifies the means is what he's saying in this article. All the way through, it gets worse and worse, but it comes down to the same thing. It's the end justifies the means. We had to stop Trump by any means necessary.
Today I had to laugh. Today I had to laugh. I was listening to Fox News, and they had this guy on there, and he was talking about how former Attorney General, I believe, in how there's a lot of evidence. Listen, there's a lot of evidence that China has a great influence there in high places in Washington, D.C., right? So I'm thinking, does not China own the Biden crime family? Does not China own them? Have we not given over $1 billion to the Biden crime family? They own them.
Why do we call him China Joe?
All right. And not only that, all of the dealings, Nancy Pelosi's son, John Kerry's son, all of these people, they all have, of course, with Hunter Biden especially, all people that have absolutely no training in certain areas become CEOs of large corporations and get these huge, huge paychecks for doing nothing. It's just unbelievable. And, of course, here, Nancy Pelosi with insider trading. I mean, she does her insider trading right out in the public. It was like, remember Hillary and her $1,000 investment?
Yeah. Came up.
She turned it into $100,000.
Yeah.
And so, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah.
Pastor Ernie, I came across Pelosi's net worth. Do you have any idea what her net worth is?
Probably about $300 million.
Oh, you nailed it. I think it was $360 million.
Yeah. Yep. Remember what Harry Truman said. He said, you can bet. He said, whenever a politician gets rich in office, you can bet he's a crook. Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. But, I mean, go ahead.
Did you come up with the money that Liz Cheney gained since she 6 years in Congress?
Was it about $7 or $8 million that she?
Oh, now, come on, Pastor Ernie.
Well, no, I'm talking about what they said that she had in her election fund that was left over from this past election.
Yeah. What her net worth went up about. She started off with like $6 or $8 million, and she almost tripled it.
Oh, it went to 30. She's worth $36 million now, after 6 years in Congress.
Wow, that's a pretty good gig if you can get it right. You go from $6 million to $36 million in 6 years. Not a bad racket.
Not bad.
If you have no shame, I guess, and no your conscience.
The corruption is just unbelievable. And did you see where Joe Obama called her to tell her how sorry he was that she lost her election?
Yeah.
But don't worry, she's going to run for president. And they're starting now. Here's this thing we talked about, Mike Pence. The article is by Joe Farrow himself. This is Joe Farrow himself who wrote the article. And he says, Joe Farrow calls ex-Veep disgraceful for comments on Mary Largo raid and the FBI. Has Mike Pence gone to the dark side? Mike Pence was a major, major disappointment for accepting the 2020 fraudulent election. A major disappointment. But not too surprising. I've wanted to forget about his role in all of that since then, but now I can't, because Pence is now definitely part of the problem. More on that later. But first, he just called on Republicans to stop attacking the FBI after agents unprecedentedly raided on Mar-a-Lago. The Republican Party is the part of the law and is the party of law and order, Pence said at a political event in New Hampshire, and these attacks on the FBI must stop. Calls to defund the FBI are just as wrong as calls to defund the police. Do you think that he might have understood that, or you would have thought that he might have said something about illegal crime with the FBI? I mean, Karl Marx said this, that any agent that was willing to do illegal acts to do illegal acts within the government should be elevated, should go up through the ranks. And that's exactly what's going on right now with the Communist Party. And the Democratic Party is now the Communist Party. And they have been for a while.
What you just said really was obvious now with Bill Clinton. When he became president and the people he met at Janet Reno and them, I mean, it was real evident that they were criminals there with Bill Clinton. Of course, it's become greater and greater since. But that's true. If you wanted a corrupt government, like if you wanted to overthrow the American government, and you were like Obama and we'll say Clinton and Biden, you want corrupt people in there. You don't want honest people that follow the Constitution. You want people that can be, they're corrupt. They can be easily, they'll do whatever you say because they're corrupt.
That's exactly right. And boy, are they. They really are. Okay, we've got Sandy in Florida pledges 200. Thank you, Sandy. Okay.
Hey, Pastor Ernie, let me, I just thought of something.
Yep. Go ahead.
We know without a shadow of a doubt that Biden is corrupt, right? What he did with the Ukraine and what he did with China?
Not a shadow of a doubt. Yep.
Well, don't you think the FBI and the CIA know that?
Oh, absolutely. Look.
Okay.
Yeah, they did everything they could to protect Hillary Clinton. They are not an independent agency anymore. They're simply, they're whores for hire. That's what they are. They're whores for hire.
But think of this, Pastor Ernie. If you are the FBI and, of course, the Justice Department, and you've got all this evidence on how corrupt Biden is, don't they own him?
Yeah, they do, but the Chinese own them all, I think.
I mean, that would force Biden and whoever else to do really what the FBI and the Justice Department want.
Well,
now, maybe they're all in agreement. They might be in agreement, so that doesn't matter. But ultimately, if the FBI has all this dirt on Biden, they own him.
Yeah. And there's a lot of dirt on him, isn't there? But remember what Chuckie Schumer said. If you read between the lines with Chucky, remember when he said, if President Trump takes on the FBI, the intelligence agencies, boy, he said they've got six ways from Sunday to get you. In other words, look, the corrupt FBI, the corrupt CIA, they're on our side. They're a part of our organization. And when you go after that's our strong arm division. That is our crooks out there. That's our hitmen. We will go after you. And this is why Biden right now, they've, with these IRS agents, these 87,000 new agents that they want to hire, do you know that they're going to go after all conservative and Christian small business? That's exactly what they're being hired for, to go after us. And so,
well, it's not just that. Look at what's in the news. Former CIA Director Hayden labels Republicans dangerous. He said, came out and said Republicans were more nihilistic and dangerous than extremist groups and dictatorships around the world. He was talking to a Financial Times columnist, Edward Luce. And the reporter said, I've covered extremism and violent ideologies around the world over my career, have never come across a political force more nihilistic and dangerous and contemptible than today's Republicans. Nothing close. And Hayden, Michael Hayden, former CIA, said, I agree, and I was CIA director. So we have a former CIA director coming out and saying something totally inappropriate, totally wrong, but it matches the headlines on the New York Times columnist today. Charles Blow suggested Republican Party is the real problem in America, the threat to our democracy, in an op-ed he put out, I guess it was out yesterday, but the story on him came out today. We're the enemy, we're the threat to democracy, and we are an extremist group. Anybody that's a Republican, I've never seen anything
not only
in
that,
my life.
Not only that, but the Bible now is an extremist book, a dangerous book.
Mm-hmm.
And for the Catholics out there doing your rosary beads, they now are also, they could classify you as a terrorist. But listen to this. You know, you often hear people, and I hear, if I were to ask you two guys, do you believe when you listen to NBC, ABC, CBS, or Fox News, do you believe what they're saying? And
no.
You would probably say, no, we don't believe them. But when they come out and they tell you that now the polls say that the Republicans and the Democrats are neck and neck. In fact, the surge is within the Democrats. And then people will call me and say, you hear that? Do you hear what I just heard? I said, well, do you believe that? Well, you know, then they remember they're not supposed to believe it. Two things are happening. One, we told you. Remember, we told you. Remember, 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 remember how we told you back when that the Democrats were going to register in the primaries as Republicans. We told you that they were going to do that. Well, guess what they did?
He was even begging them to.
All across the country, they did exactly that. Just we told you they were going to do that. Now, these Democrats that run as Republicans, we call them rhinos. We have a number of them, like Mikulski out there in Alaska, and Mitch McConnell, I would say. But Mitt Romney is one who really fits that. But we told you they were going to do that, and they did that. Now, here's what they're doing now. Now they're trying to get their base. They're trying to encourage their base by saying, look, we're neck and neck. Don't you understand? We've in the polls say we're neck and neck. They're not. They're not. But what's happening, they call in and they're taking some of these polls, and when they call people and they find out, this is from the DNC, people aren't going to tell them that they're going to vote for, that they're Trumpers, because they're afraid that, you know, the thugs might show up at their house. So they're not telling them that. They're not telling them what they're really going to do. And that is what's taking place here. But we have to continue to get the truth out. We've got to continue to fight NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN. We've got to fight them with the truth. And so we're coming up to, we're going to come up to a break here. I'm going to try to get his attention in here again. Hello? Okay. See, there you go. I'm going to get his attention.
Throw a cupcake.
All right.
Donut.
Let me, I know, hello, can you hear me? Let's go to the break, okay.
I'll tell you exactly why these questions aren't being asked and nobody wants to ask them, Lindsay, because the Capitol Police answers not to the President of the United States, doesn't answer to the Metropolitan Police Commissioner, they answer to the Speaker of the House in her little fiefdom. That's why she managed to get people fired after the disastrous response of January the 6th. The buck stops on Nancy's table. And if these reports, if just a percentage of these reports are true, Lindsay, I think she should be impeached. Not only was that intelligence unit shut down, not only were preparations not made, we have the travesty of what happened on January the 6th with police officers inviting individuals in through open doors, those individuals being prosecuted, being put in solitary confinement as political prisoners not far from this studio. And on top of that, we have an unarmed woman, a 14-year Air Force veteran, say her name, Nancy, it's Ashley Babbitt, who was gunned down, who was murdered by that police officer. The only fatality on that day was a citizen, was a veteran who was killed. So we don't want those questions asked because the person who's responsible is Nancy Pelosi.
Okay, well, speaking of Ashley Babbitt, I do want to bring this one up because Judicial Watch has just received new records from the Department of Justice, over 100 pages specifically on the shooting of Ashley Babbitt. She was unarmed. They reveal that her shooter did not create a police report or documents related to the shooting of Babbitt. And they also reveal that the DOJ press release announcing the decision not to prosecute the shooter that replaced the words in that report from groups and crowds to the word mob several different times. So, Brett, why would they do that? Do they have a good justification not to recommend criminal prosecution for somebody that we know shot an unarmed person?
Yeah, you know, this is part of that double standard that we're seeing and the politics that's creeping into the Department of Justice. It's in the FBI. It's in the decision making at the executive levels of both the DOJ and the FBI. It's worrisome to the rest of the country as we sit and we watch and we want to see a fair standard applied to both sides politically on those that commit crimes and those who don't. We didn't have transparency in the Ashley Babbitt case, and we didn't have consistency with the treatment of the individual who shot her. That is what makes Americans upset. That's why we want a different government in place. We want different individuals, and we want accountability with those individuals.
It's so important that you point out that double standard, because that's it. That's why Americans are frustrated about what we're going to see tomorrow night, because there is a double standard. It's not fair what we're going to watch. So leading up to this hearing, Congresswoman Liz Cheney over the weekend called it a conspiracy, what happened on January 6th. Listen.
Do you believe it was a conspiracy?
I do. It is extremely broad. It's extremely well organized. It's really chilling.
I mean, was it a conspiracy?
What's chilling is that Liz Cheney, who allegedly has the letter R after her name in that Washington Post interview, proceeded to call the Republican Party a party of white nationalists. She is insane. She is the apotheosis of the scum in Washington, D.C., that is the swamp. She's the reason that America First was created and why we need President Trump back in the White House. These people are working hand in glove with an illegitimate committee, the committee that subpoenaed illegally not only my phone records — I had nothing to do with January the 6th, simply because I was a deputy assistant to the president — and also the phone records of my children, Lindsay, and my wife. When people want to see what the swamp really is like, you look at the face of people like Liz Cheney, who have betrayed the American people and think that they get to call 74 million Americans fascists and white supremacists.
Welcome to the school where my child feels at home. He loves being a part of a warm, nurturing community.
Alrighty, we are back. And here, Linda and Kevin in Brooklyn pledged $150. Thank you, Linda and Kevin in Brooklyn. All right, folks, the phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. And let me see where we're at here. Okay, right now we need about 3,600. We need 3,600 to make our goal, and we only have about 16 minutes to do it, 3,600. Okay, bring Pastor Hal up and let him join in with us. Okay. Pastor Hal, you are with us here. Okay. It's not time for you to give the invitation yet, but we're going to let you join in and put your two cents in this. So,
well, I know the Bible says righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. And America right now is under a lot of reproach because they've had the — you know, the old saying is, when small people start to cast large shadows, you know, the sun is almost down. And we've never had a time in America's history when the smallest people that we that's ever been in office has cast such large shadows and cast their vileness and their evil and everything over the entire American nation. And it's time people get some backbone and stand up and say enough is enough. And with the power of God and his spirit, we take a stand and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and pray that God save America. We need to preach repentance, and that's the key right there, both an individual and a national repentance among the people of this country. And God will save us if we repent. But if we don't repent, we can't expect deliverance.
Well, the Bible says, "What all nations who forget their God will be turned into hell." And America, you know, was too busy. Remember what it was said, that all is necessary for evil to prevail is for good people to do nothing. And so too many good people just looked the other way and said, why doesn't somebody do something, okay, about it? Well, folks out there,
I'm hearing people are saying the news is so bad, I don't want to hear it, so I just tune it out. It's like, if you don't hear bad news, it doesn't happen. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. We need to know what's going on to fight it, to do something. This hiding your head in the sand is just going to get your bottom shot off.
Okay. Oh, okay, because you can't, the blaster is blacked it out. It's not on my screen. All right, we want to say Anonymous pledges 40 and Shavika pledges 40. All righty, there you go.
Pastor Ernie, just in light of what you've been saying, is a good reason to support this show, because there's no use listening to these other news sources, well, that are leaving things out, twisting, lying. And here we tend to bring the people many things that they don't hear, Pastor Ernie, on the main. You know, you could listen to Fox News all day and never hear the majority of the stuff that we're bringing out. And it's all true.
Well, I remember some years ago we had, when I was on death row, I was visiting a death row inmate the same time his lawyer was, and his lawyer came up with a last-minute lie that she was going to call the governor, and so he looks at me and says, should I do this? And I said, well, it's never right to lie, okay? And she yelled and she said, we're paid to lie for you. And I said, no, you're not paid to lie for me. But here's the bottom line. Those people at NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, Spectrum News, they could look you in the eye and say, you know, we are paid to lie to you. We are paid to lie to you. And they'd be telling the truth, wouldn't they?
Yes.
Alrighty. Let me see.
They have an agenda. They have an agenda, and the agenda is not the truth.
You're telling me.
What you said, it's so true. I was, the headlines today, libs of TikTok were kicked off of Twitter. Why? They were showing libs telling the truth, and they just repeat it, so they're kicked off. RFK Jr., his anti-vaccine group, got kicked off Instagram, Facebook. Story after story of people being kicked off of Twitter and Facebook now. It's an all-out assault on the from Silicon Valley to keep conservatives quiet, to keep any truth from the public, and that's why this radio station, this radio program is so important, because they can't censor us. Silicon Valley cannot shut us up, cannot stop us, as long as the listeners support us and donate enough so that we can pay the radio airtime, we can stay on the air. But the assault is all over for this election. They are going for broke.
Yeah, they really are, because they know that if Trump gets back in office, and if they know if the Republicans take the House and the Senate back, there will be trials. There's going to be hearings, and there will be trials. And the corruption, again, these are with all those dirty cops. But here's an article right here. This is right out of the Patriot Viral News, and it says this. The Capitol Police don't answer to anyone other than the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Their performance during the January 6, 2021 mobbing of the House chamber by misguided rowdies was atrocious. The only death was an unarmed demonstrator and Air Force veteran Ashley Babbitt. The DOJ investigated a shooting in double negative legalists. The DOJ said that the investigation revealed no evidence to establish that. At that time, the officer fired a single shot at Ms. Babbitt, and the officer did not reasonably believe that it was necessary to do so in self-defense or in defense of the members of Congress and the others in the House chamber. Well, here's the thing. He's talking about inside the House. They murdered. She was murdered by a dirty cop. Ashley was murdered by a cowardly, a dirty, and a cowardly cop. Now, but outside, there were others being murdered, too. Another woman was also murdered and beaten by a racist, dirty, racist cop out there, Washington, D.C., beaten to death by a racist, a black female who hated white people, just like this black cop inside shot Ashley. But he was these people knew what they were doing. They knew that they would be protected. They knew the fix was in by the real racist, by Nancy Pelosi and her crowd. The report ends acknowledging the tragic loss of life and offering condolences to Ms. Babbitt's family. The U.S. Attorney's Office and the U.S. Department of Justice have therefore closed the investigation into this. Let me tell you, and again, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Merrick Garland would be very, very hard-pressed to find someone as corrupt as himself, to find somebody as corrupt as himself to prosecute, and that's a fact. Alrighty, we have Nancy in Oregon pledges 75. Joe in Staten Island pledges 100. Andrea in Illinois pledges 500. Gail in Massachusetts pledges 100 and wants prayers for her family. Okay, I don't know how she wants us to pray. Okay. All right, we need...
pledges 100, too.
Oh, pardon? Okay.
Trucking for Christ will pledge
Trucking for Christ pledges 100. Okay. So that leaves us with 2,000... we need 2,700. 2,700, and we've got approximately 8 minutes to raise 2,700. 2,700 and 8 minutes. So, folks, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. If you're out there listening and the Lord lays it upon your heart, if you feel he's telling you to do it, okay? Because I can tell you one thing. In 50 years, this radio program has never compromised. No, not one time. And we're going to continue. And listen, and I am surprised that the dirty cops haven't come for me yet. I mean, they have in the past for the pro-life work that we've done, saving babies, they did. But we gave, you know, they got it worse than we did. We give it to them, and they regretted doing that. But... anyhow, we're still here by God's grace. And, you know...
we keep praying for his mercy and his protection, so apparently our prayers are being answered.
Amen. And, you know, over the years, and you guys, Joe, you know this, and John, you know this, because it's happened to you, too, the same thing. Those that have come against us, the Bible says, touch not my anointed. And those that have come against us have suffered more. God has dealt with them, hasn't he?
He certainly has.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Pastor Ernie. Our job is to stand for the truth and be persistent. Don't fold. Don't cut and run. And when we stand for the truth, great things happen, Pastor Ernie. The Lord is there to back us up.
Amen. Let me ask a prayer. Lord, I don't know what Gail needs. She wants us to pray for her family. So, Lord, you know what Gail's family needs. If it's salvation, then, Lord, I would ask that you would bring them to repentance and bring them to you. But whatever that situation is, she just said pray for her family. So we want to hold Gail's family up and ask Father God, Lord, that your perfect will be done with them. This we ask in Jesus' name. We always try to pray for whenever we can. And believe me, we spend a lot of time during the week praying, folks. But we got to know how to pray, what the need is. All right.
But it's nice to know that God knows what the problem is. And if we're going to him and, like you did, ask him to provide whatever is necessary, whether it's spiritual healing or... you know, family, whatever the issue, God knows what it is, and we can count on him if we just go to him in prayer.
Amen. Lee and Euclid pledges $50. All righty, so we need, we're around 2,500. We need about 2,500. And we've got 5 minutes. 5 minutes. And the number is 888-281-1110, with credit cards especially, or 888-677-9673. Folks, we've got 5 minutes. 5 minutes left and before we start. In fact, we will be here for about another 5 minutes after the program today. So John and Joe, Pastor Hal wants to give an invitation. Should we let him give that invitation?
He does Absolutely. A very good invitation.
All righty. Now is the time to do it. You've got 5 minutes to do it.
Well, it's a humbling thing to give an invitation in front of men that have been in the ministry as long as you guys have, and, you know, the experience and everything. But I'll give it a good shot anyway. I pray that God just speak through me. And the verse that comes to my mind is John 14:6, when he said, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And all the people out there listening to me come from all kinds of different backgrounds, you know, Catholic, Protestant, atheist, all kinds of stuff. And a lot of you are dependent on your own way to get to heaven. But, you know, all that is just hot air, because when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that's what he meant. He didn't mean I am a way. He is the way. And if you're not trying to get to heaven through Jesus Christ, you're not going to get there. And when he died on that cross, God was allowing him to pay the righteous payment that had to be paid for your sins in full. And when he shed his blood, the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The perfect sinless blood of Jesus Christ himself is the only thing that could ever wash away your sins and mine. And that doesn't become applied to you until you, by faith, go to God in repentance over your sin. That's admitting to him that without Jesus in your heart, without that payment on Calvary applied to you, you're lost and on your road to hell. You're going to have to pay for your sins by yourself for all eternity. And unless you want that, you better return to Jesus Christ. Don't depend on your church membership. I thought I was a Christian because I was a confirmed Lutheran for 17 years. And there's a lot of you think because you're Catholics or whatever, you know, you've been through the whole system, that you're a Christian. You know, you can be a member of every church in town and you won't be no more Christian than the devil. What makes you a Christian is a birth. That's why Jesus said in John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that a born again means you're born spiritually in addition to your physical birth. And that happens when you ask Jesus to come into your heart and receive him as your Savior and what he did for you on that cross. And right then and there, God's Holy Spirit gives you a spiritual birth into the family of God that's permanent. And that's how you get to heaven. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, a gift. You can't earn it. Not of works, lest any man should boast, Ephesians 2:8-9. And Revelation 3:20 said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. So right now while I'm talking to you, Jesus Christ is knocking at the door of your heart. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's how you open up the door of your heart and ask Jesus to come in. It's through prayer, sincerely asking Jesus to come into your heart and trust in him and him only for your salvation, being sorry about the fact that you're a sinner and you've transgressed against the holy God with your sins. So if you want to ask Jesus to come into your heart, if you want to receive the payment he paid for you on that cross, if you want to know you're going to heaven, then pray this prayer with me. We could pray together, but even though we're praying together, it's strictly between you and God. And right now, let him come into your heart. Okay, let's pray. Dear God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I believe and I confess that I sinned against you and that I'm on my way to hell right now to pay the payment for my sins. And I don't want to go to hell, oh God. I believe you died for me on that cross. And Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my heart. Forgive me for all my sins and save my soul, because I believe you died on that cross and shed your blood in my place for my amen. Salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Simply put, in 1 John 5:13, he said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Not that you may wish it, hope for it, or whatever, but that you may know. How could you know? Because God made you a promise, and God has to keep his promises or he wouldn't be God. Go ahead, Pastor.
Say, well, I hope I'm saved, but there's no way of knowing. Yeah, there is. There is. God's word says there is. All right, we want to say Lee in Euclid pledged 50, Joanne in New York pledged 200, Nancy in Wisconsin pledges 60. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And folks, we will be here again for about another, 7 or 8 minutes. We'll be able to take your calls. So we're still short of our goal, and I think we're about 2,200 short of our goal yet. So we do need to hear from you. If a couple of you could just pledge $1,000, it'd work out really well for us tonight, okay? Okay, well, here you go.
Bless many of you.
We just listened to that. That's a miracle right there. Linda in California, and I got a feeling, I think I know who this Linda is, just pledged $1,700. Thank you. What does that bring us up to? Okay.
Thank you, Linda.
Okay, let me see. Well, this point breaks us up. We need approximately $600. We need $600 to make our goal tonight. So, folks, we'll be here for about another 6 minutes or so after we're off the air. We need $600 to make our goal. Thank you, Linda. Thank all of you folks out there tonight.
Every donation is precious, and we know the bulk of our donations that come in are still a lot of small donations from people that have been faithfully supporting us for years, and all we can do is thank you, but God says he will bless everyone that supports the ministry, so we thank you. God bless us.
Well, you know, again, we're the watchman on the wall. We've been here, and like I said, we bring them the news. To us, lying is a sin. Lying is wrong. It's not like our opposition. To our opposition, they embrace it. You know, they don't believe what we believe. And so here, the main purpose of this program has been from day one to convince people that they need to repent of their sin and call upon the name of the Lord. That's the main goal of this radio program. Folks out there listening, again, we tell you, the word of God, there's only one thing that you can absolutely, completely, and totally depend upon in this world here that you're in, and that's the word of God. That's the word of God. Even mathematics tells you that it's the only thing that is 100% sure you can depend on. So, folks, again, that's our main goal to try to get across to you, is that the Lord Jesus Christ died a substitutionary death. He did for you what you could never do for yourself, okay? He provided what was required, okay, to please and satisfy a holy God, who cannot tolerate sin. He did that, but you've got to call upon him. You've got to repent of your sin and call upon him to receive that, so go to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Oh, no. Yeah, chapter 3. We're out of time for tonight. You guys ready? Until tomorrow, good night. God bless.
God bless.
And always, 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 let's do it, fellas.
Keep
fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.